Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Gittin Daf Lamed. We are on the third line from the top of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Hu da Amar. This husband gives a get on his way out of town and he says, look, it's on condition. Ilo yasina ad telosin yamin. If I do not return within 30 days, lihavagita, this get that I have just handed to my wife will be chal, will be activated. So, if I'm back, no get. If I miss the 30-day deadline, the get becomes active. And what happened? Also, he tried to come back, but he got stuck on the other side of the river, Upaske, and he was cut off by the Mabra, by the ferry, which was not available at that point. So there was a river, was a ferry shuttle, meant to go back and forth, and the shuttle was unavailable, so he got stuck on the other side of the city, and there goes 30 days. He came close to the deadline, and he missed it. So the word Mabra can either be referring to the actual river or to the crossing of the river. It was unavailable. He got stuck. Amar Luhu, so he calls out. Rabbi said, look, I'm here. Chazu, take a look. The Asoi, I've returned. No get. Chazu da Asoi, look, I'm here. Amar Shmuel, well, you're on the other side of the river. That doesn't work. Lo yishmei masya. That's not considered having returned. And Rashi brings, based on the Gemara, in the beginning of Kesubos, where there's a shaila of yesh oynes begitten or ein oynes begitten, which means, suppose he could not keep his condition because of circumstances, beyond his control, such as in this case. So according to some, shita is ein oynes. You can't have an oynes claim when it comes to fulfilling that condition pertaining to a get. So that's why we ignored his argument, his oynes here. According to the other shita, that yes, sometimes we reckon with oynes as well. Yesh oynes begitten. Well, over here it's different because he should have spelled it out. It was something which he could have foreseen. It was pretty much an expected situation. Sometimes you get the ferry, sometimes you don't. So you should have spelled it out. Look, if I'm back and last minute and I'm stuck because of the ferry, it should not count. So failing to mention that is now, counted against him. Okay, so bottom line is, it was not a fulfillment. He had not returned, and therefore the get becomes active. Here comes another similar case. Hahuda amar lahu. So this fellow once again gives the get, and he tells them, look, iloi piyasna lo atlas inyem. If I'm not successful in appeasing her, changing her mind, making up with her, until 30 days are up, lihavigita. So if I'm not successful, if I don't do that, the get becomes active. So what happens? He tried his best. Azal pisa v'loi faisa. He tried to appease her, and she did not accept his appeasement. Status quo. What happens now? On the one hand, he wasn't successful. On the other hand, he tried his best. So when he said that the get is only going to be active if I don't do pious, what did he mean? The attempt, the effort, or the result? Amar Rav Yosef. Of course it's his fault. He didn't go all out. He could have done much more than that. Did he give her a shipment of gold coins? Tarkava is tray, two, and kav is one, so three kav. Did he give her a bunch of coins to appease her, to show his sincerity? And she still did not take to it? Meaning, he didn't do that. So he didn't really make a serious attempt at achieving peace, at achieving appeasement. And he did not fulfill his condition. And he can't say, it's not my fault. It is his fault. He should have done better. There's another version of this response of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, midi tarkava de din riboyil mesav la? Do you think he has to go to that extent, all out, to give her coins? He doesn't have coins. He's an anus. What should he do? He's the best he can do. Hapis of Alei Faisa. He tried to appease her and it didn't work. And therefore the get is not going to be active. So these two versions in Rav Yosef really are hinging upon that question that we mentioned before. Is oines, is the oines factor a factor at play when it comes to a tenai of a get or not? Ha, kemanda amar, yesh oines begetin. Ha, kemanda amar, ein oines begetin. So, the second version of Rav Yosef, which was, well, the get is bottle, because, you know, he didn't have to give her those coins. He tried his best. So anything, you know, past that is sort of an oinus. He's not obligated to, you know, to go all out. He doesn't have the coins. What should he do? So, therefore, it's not a get. Because as tonight was, if I don't appease her, I did. I tried my best. I can only do as much as I can do. Past that is an oinus. And therefore, it's not a get. That's version 2 of Rav Yosef, because yesh oines begitin. We account for oines by get. Ha, kamada Omar. The first version of Rav Yosef, which was, well, did he go all out? Did he give her money? Did he pair her off? Did he really try his best? Ha, kamada Omar, oines begitin. So even though, you know, he couldn't, he doesn't have access to a tarkiv adedinri. So what? Even though it's an oines, he can't say, tanas oines, I couldn't do more. And therefore, it is a get. And this discussion of ein oines or yesh oines is actually a whole sugya in the beginning of Ksubois. Daf Beis, Daf Gimel. Okay, let's continue the mission. Hamal v'mois es ha-koin v'salevi v'sa'oni. So a person lent money to either a kohen, to a levi, to a poor man, and he sort of made a barter deal with them to help them out. You don't have to pay me anything. Here's $100, you're scot free, but here's the arrangement. You know, I have lots of crops, and eventually I'm going to be separating Truma Gedoyla, which is meant for the kohen, or Maser Rishon, meant for the levi, or Maser Oni, meant for the poor person. I'll keep those and apply it towards the debt, which is a beautiful favor that he's doing. Hamal v'moyes as a koin, as a levi, as a oni, liyos mafresh aliyin, with the intent to set aside, you know, the truma, the maser, for them, michalkon, from their portion, basically, he's going to be deducting that from the debt. And what's he going to do with the truma? So sell it to a koin. What's he going to do with the maser rishon? Actually, he can have it himself. Once he separates the Trumas Maser, which goes to the Kohen, the rest goes to Yisrael, or the Maser Oni, certainly Yisrael can keep. So he's basically really helping out these people. He's giving them money and pretty much not asking anything in return. He can do that. Mafresh Alein, he can do this arrangement on account of these individuals, Becheska, Shein Kayamin, assuming they're still alive. Because, of course, this arrangement only works as long as they're around. Because basically, when he's separating the truma, the maser, it's as though he gave it to them, and he's taking it back on account of the debt. Is there a concern that they're no longer amongst the living? No. What was, will be, that's called chazaka. We assume they're still alive. He doesn't have to be concerned that perhaps the kohen passed away, or a levi, or maybe the poor man turned wealthy. And he's not eligible for a maser ani any longer. No chashash. We assume things are status quo. But if he knows for a fact that Mesu, that they did pass away, then he can't just continue as usual. He has to go ask permission. He has to go to the heirs, to the Yerushim, who sort of assumed their father's debt, and now he can sort of continue that arrangement with them, with their consent. Now, Imhilvan Bifnei Bezn, if the original debt arrangement was done with the Bezdin's participation. In this case, even if the original Kayan or Levi or Ani passed away, there's no need for him to approach the Yisayimim. He doesn't have to ask permission from the Yerushim. Rashi explains because Beznev has a koyach to place this obligation on all Kohanim, all of Yim. So basically, it's for the benefit of the collective, Kohanim and Levim and Aniyim, to have money available for loaning so that, they can have what they need. So it's really their teva, it's for their sake, it's for their good. And therefore, Bezna has the authority to impose this arrangement, so to speak, on all Kohanim, all Levim. And in this case, where the original person is no longer here, he doesn't have to go ask permission anew from the Yerushim. It's sort of in track, it's there. The arrangement hold true because of Koyach Bezd. So what's the Chiddush in the Mishnah? You can loan money to a Kohen and then take away some, separate some Truma on his behalf and then keep it and apply it to the loan, deduct it from the debt. Question is, you can do that even if the Truma never was given to the Kohen or the Maser Rishon to the Levi or Maser Ani to the Ani. Well, there's a mitzvah nesina. You have to give it. You can only consider it his when it's his. So first you would have to give it to him and then take it back as repayment for that loan. But now Mishnah is not doing that. He lent them money and then he turns away. He never sees them again. He says, look, whatever I'm going to be separating from the Truma up to the amount of the loan is considered repayment. Well, it never got to the coin to be considered his, to be considered repayment. We have three terutz. Amar Rabbi Makare Kahuna Valivia was speaking. Now these Kohanim and Levim are his friends, who is accustomed to giving the Truma and Maser regardless. The other Kohanim are not expecting this fellow's Truma. They know it goes to this person. Other Levim know it goes to this Levi. So they're Masiach Das. They sort of remove themselves and their claim from this Truma and Maser, and Rashi says it's as though it is theirs. The fact that everybody else sort of relinquishes their claim from this Truma, from this Maser, it is considered belonging to these. It is designated for them, and therefore it's as good as theirs, and it can be deducted from their loan. Ushmol Amar, Shmuel says he actually made it theirs, but not directly, indirectly. B'mezakel hem al yidei acherim. So this Yisrael, the creditor, the Baal Choy, took the Maser and gave it to a neighbor of his. Says, make a kinyan, be zoche, on behalf of the Levi. You can do that, right? Zochen la'odem shalei b'fanam. So now it belongs to the Levi, and now he can take it back and apply it towards the loan. Ula Amar, a different shot, Hamani Rabbi Yisi, our mission is founder Rabbi Yisi, the Amar who says that many times we find for the benefit of the recipient, Chazal did that. Asu asheinu zeicha. Chazal considered a non zeicha kazeicha as though he acquired it. We find this by hunters, trapping animals, etc., etc. We find Chachamim made a takana, for the benefit of the community that we considered his. Here as well, as we explained, it's all for the benefit of the Kohen and the Levi, and therefore they considered the Truma as his, and the arrangement holds. So we have three Pshatim, B'makare Kehuna, their friendly Kehanim, or through Zikoy, through an Acher, or Takanas Chachamim, to consider the material as though belonging to the Kohen and the Levi. Now, Kulu Kurav Le'Amri, the other ones did not adopt Rav's pshat, the first pshat, Makar Lektani. The Mishnah doesn't specify that these Kohanim are his friends and his designated, recipients. Kishmuel Ke'amri, they didn't want to go with Shmuel because B'mazaka Lektani. There's no mention in the Mishnah that he was Mazaka through another person. Kulon Amelie Amri, they didn't go with Ula, Kichidol Mekmina, they preferred not relating our Mishnah to a Shita, a Yechida, individual Shita of Rav Yesi. And therefore, they chose their roots. Tanu Rabbanan. So the Gemara now will elaborate on this arrangement and tell us about five halachis that apply to it. Five unusual elements found in this arrangement. Tanu Rabbanan. Hamalve Mois. Esa Koyin Vesa Levi Vesa Ani. So a fellow lends them money. Liris mafresha alein michalkan, right? To deduct the truma, the master, from the loan. Mafresha alein b'cheskashen kayam. So you can do so, assuming they're alive. Now, we have five halachis. Some of them are ribbis related. So typically a person has to be careful never to receive repayment in amount which was greater than he loaned, right? So your standard ribbis is, here's a dollar for two. That's standard ribbis ktsutza. Set ribbis. Arranged ribbis. Clear-cut ribbis. That's ribbis min ha-Torah. But a ribbis element, which is found in a, you know, in a sort of a business transaction, derech mekech ha-memkar, that's not really min ha-Torah, especially when it's an unknown, you know, it's sort of up in the air. I might get back more, I may not get back more. So that's what we deal with in Perek Ezeh Uneshech, a very complicated, detailed Perek in Bava Metzia, Be'ez Hashem, coming up soon. So we're just going to briefly relate to a couple of elements, ribbis-related concerns, which the Gemara will tell us don't apply in this case, even though perhaps they should, but there is a Takanas Chachamim, as we explained, to make it easier for this arrangement to take hold. U'poisek imohen kishar hazoil. So number one, the lender can make up with the levy. Look, here's a dollar, right, as a loan. In exchange, I'm going to get the, you know, the wheat of your master rishon. Now today, a pound of wheat sells for a dollar. But he can say, look, maybe down the road, when it comes time for the hafrasha, when I actually, you know, get the master rishon for you, it's going to be 2 pounds per dollar. It's going to go down in price. He can do that. It can be pegged on the lower price down the future, down the road. And likewise, if it's in the reverse, suppose it'll go up in price. No issue. He can say, look, here's a dollar. Eventually, I'm going to take a pound of wheat in exchange of this dollar as per today's rate. And even if it goes up in price, so later on when it comes time for the Yisrael to collect the maserishin, it's going to be a pound of wheat worth $2. So he's really going to get more value. He can do that. There's no issue of ribbis. I think Mar will soon explain how and why. Number three, ve'en shmiyis misham tasei, likewise shmita, which comes along, does not cancel this debt. It's not really a debt because I can't really go after the levy. He has no obligation to repay me. We made an arrangement. I take my master. I can't go to him. So there's no din of shvius mishametes. V'im balachser eni chaser. If the balabais who lent the money decides, you know, to cancel the deal after having already forwarded the funds to the levy, you can't go back on that. This Yashua Bailam, another halacha. Suppose the deal was, I'm going to use this year's, you know, crop as repayment. And this year's crop went bad, spoiled. In which case, the farmer sort of gave up on ever being repaid. Ein mafresh aleihem, then, it's too late. You can't collect maserishin on that account. Even if somehow, his crop regenerates, too late. He gave up on that. V'shein mafresh aleihem, because you can't take the maserishin on something which you already relinquished. So we have five halachas, which we will now review. Amar, let's go back. Poisek imayim kishar hazoil. So he can specify that if the price of a grain goes down, so I'm going to take based on the lower price. Pshita, of course, why can't he do that? It's not a vada, it's a safek. There's no, it shouldn't be an issue of ribbis here. Says the Gemara, kamashmo on the chiddush here is afgav shalei pasa. Even if he didn't actually specify that he's banking on a lower price, kimisha pasak dami, it says though he specified that condition, it's just presumed that he wants the best deal possible, and therefore when it drops, he can work with a lower rate and end up getting more for his money. So again, today's price was a pound of wheat for a dollar, and later on will be 2 pounds of wheat per dollar. He can take two per dollar that he lent. The next case was if the price goes up. Ema mishim ribis. No issue of ribis. If down the road it turns out that a pound of wheat is worth $2, so he's getting more value than he lent the levy, no issue. My time, why not? The answer is like this. It's not an absolute arrangement. You know what? If the farmer comes up with no crop, no maserishin found in his silo, the levy is totally not responsible to repay. That was the deal. I take the money and I run. If you find maserishin, gesundheit, but there's no guarantee you'll ever get anything back. And therefore, that mitigates the ribis factor. Even if the owner, farmer, happened to luckily find some grain to use as repayment for the loan, so even though he ends up gaining on the deal, as we explained, because the price went up, there's no ribis factor here. The whole thing was just an uncertainty and does not count as ribis. Thirdly, shvius does not interfere. Why? Pasuk says, don't go after the borrower. He's not going after him. Rashi says, I have no claim against you. I have to find some truma, some master, to collect on your behalf. That's not called lo yigais. And finally, he decides to renege on the deal. He can't. This is only applied to the balabais, el balabais, b'koin. If the farmer decides to change the terms on the koin, too late. Abal koin b'balabais. But when it comes to the koin changing the terms on the balabais, he can do that. In bolachs or choyz, if he decides to change the deal, basically I'll pay you up and I want to take the truma instead, he could do so. Why? Because the whole mechanism here was based on the fact that it's as though the koin got the truma. Well, he didn't get it yet. This not as we learned in the Mishnah. Nosen le'moyis. V'loy mashachem en ha'peiris. A standard customer walks into a store, pays, but never actually took hold of the item. Yochel lachzur bo, he can change his mind. Here as well, the koin, until he actually finalized the deal, he can change his mind, pay up the loan and take the peiris, the truma instead. This year, Ashur Abaylam. But if the deal was, look, it's this year's truma and no other year, and this year's crop failed, and the Baalim sort of was miyayish. Oh, this year's he wrote her off as a loss. Ein mafresh alein. So that's it. He can no longer separate the truma and the master on their account. Why? Lefisha ein mafresh nala avad. Because he can't do so if things were lost. Basically, he gave up his claim once he saw his crop failed. Well, pshita, obviously. Why even discuss this? Like tzricha, the chiddush is the akun. His grain was already on the stalk. It was already sort of growing and then it dried up. And he gave up on it. And suddenly, wow. It rained and it regenerated and revived itself. And here he goes. He has his crop. Mauded him, and perhaps I would say akanto. Since it's on the kun, it's on the stalk. Chances are it can. Good chance that it can regenerate. And he didn't really give up total hope on it. Milsahi is considered something with potential. Kamash won't know. Because once he was miyayish, he gave up. He sort of wrote off the debt. He can no longer collect on it. Tanya, we have a brisa. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Eimer. Hamal v'moy says a koin v'sa levi. Bebezden. This time he made the arrangement in the bezden. Umesu when the koin or levi passes away. Mafresh alein v'cheskas eisei eshevet. As we learned in the Mishnah, you don't have to run to the Yerushim to get permission. He can resume the arrangement based on the Shevet, relying on the other Kohanim, other Levim, because as we explained, Bezdin has the right to impose it on the rest of the Kohanim and Levim, because it's for their collective benefit that money should be available when needed. And likewise, Vesa Ani, the Bezdin, if he lent money to a poor man, with the Bezdin involved in the arrangement, Umezin, he passed away. Same thing happened. Mafresh, Allah, Becheskas, and Yisrael. He can continue deducting the Maser Ani, even though the Ani itself, himself, is not here, but there are other Aniim in the world, and he's sort of collecting from the other Aniim, because, as we explained, it's not called taking from them improperly, because they're all okay with it. It's for their benefit, so that they can find lenders in a time of need. Becheskas Aniyei Yisrael, the local Aniim in town. Rabachi, I mean Becheskas Aniyei Olam. It can be based on Aniim out in the world. What is the difference between Tanakama, who says Aniyei Yisrael, and he says Aniyei Olam? Might be not. It could be a difference like this. Let's say in this town there are no, Aniyei Yisrael, but we have other types of Aniim. Ikibanai ani Kusim. Kusim, who's you know, Gerus was sort of questionable. We have those aniim in town. That would be the machlekes. Tanakama says they're not part of the equation because they're not true gerim, and Rabbi Achi considers them true gerim, and they could be part of the equation. What about Heshir Hani? Instead of the ani dying, he turned wealthy, so he's no longer eligible for Maser Ani. So you can't really, you know, put aside Maser Ani on his account. He's not an ani. Ein mafresh alav, so you can't do it. V'zocha alav b'mashiv yodim. What happens to the money he loaned him? It's his money. Lucky him. He keeps the money because he never obligated to return it. He never was machayiv himself to repay the loan. Now the question is, v'rabbonon, who masakin? If the ani is meis, keep on going. If the ani is hesher, stop right there. Why? Either way, he's no longer an ani. Why did they make this takana to continue this arrangement when he passes away? But if he turns wealthy, we don't make the same takana. The answer is misa shchicha. Ashirus lo shchicha. It's more common to die than to become wealthy. Amar papa. Hainu damrinchi. As people say, inshi. I mean, chavruch. If your friend mace, a person hears that a person dies, asher, confirm it. Chances are it's correct. Is asher, but that he turned wealthy, lo isa asher. Don't believe it. So as we know, chachamim only make takanas on things which are common. So by Misa, we make the takana, but not by Ashirus. Meisar chlita lushus min ayorshim. But if Bezdin was not involved, and the person you lent the money to passed away, you can't just continue the arrangement until you check and confirm with the yorshim. Tanya Rabbi Yomer. Which type of yorshim? Yorshim she yorsh. Only those who inherited something from their father. One second. Omi yika yorshim del yarsi? What do you mean? Yorshim... are, obviously, those who inherit. Why, otherwise, they're not called Yarshim. Elam Rabbi Yechanan. The halacha is like this. Rabbi meant specific Yarshim. Yarshim who are not obligated to address their father's debt. She Yarshu Karka was speaking that the Yarshim inherited land from their father, in which case their father's debt carries over to them, and they're obligated to keep this arrangement with the Baal Chayiv. As opposed to just inheriting monies and items which are not considered karka and don't generate a carryover of the debt. Okay, so how much karka do they need to deem them obligated for their father's chayv? Hiniach molei machat. Father left a teeny bit of land, a needle, the size of a needle. Gave him molei machat. So now the lender has the right to collect that amount from the yorshim. So basically it's tit for that. It has to match the amount of the loan. The tviya, the claim against the yorshim, corresponds to the amount of land they got from their father. That's how much carryover there is on the loan. Mulei kardim, a larger tract of land, a shovel size, basically a large piece of land, gave him like kardim, that allows the creditor to collect more based on how much land there is. So it's all value-based. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, he himself says no. So that was Rabbi Yenison, right? Amar Rabbi Yenison, it's all corresponding to the exact amount of kaka. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, no, not at all. Even if he left a tiny bit of land, that allows the Baal Chayv to collect his entire debt. Afilu hiniach mulei machat. Goyva, how much? Mulei kardim. He can collect as much as he wants. Why? Okay, mas, diktina dabayi. You see, the Baal Chayv can collect this little teeny piece of land, right? And now, the Yerushim will come back and redeem it, right? Here, take some money for it. Now, what does the Baal Chayv do? Goes back again and collects until he is repaid in full. He has a right to do that. Collect and recollect and recollect. Like the story of Ketino da Abaye discussed in Maseches Ksuba. It's a similar story. A fellow passed away, left behind a rather small piece of land worth 50. The Baal Chayv had a debt on him of a claim of 100. So what did he do? He collected the plot of land. The Yisoyim came, okay, here's 50, let's take it back. He went and recollected it again, repossessed the same piece of land until he got his 100 back. So potentially, even a little piece of land can provide a full debt, a full loan, a full repayment. And therefore, our Mishnah, which says that the Baal Chayiv can continue with this Truma Maser setting aside arrangement, can keep on going as long as the Yersh has some piece of land, in which case the Baal Chayiv has a tangible claim, and the debt carried over to the Yershim. Okay, on the topic of Chazakos, Cheskas Chai, and on the topic of the Mishnah, where we say the Yisrael can actually take possession of Truma and Maser even before it actually physically got to the Kohen and Levi, and it can use that and apply it to the debt. We have a similar brisa. Tana Rabban, Yisrael Shamar Levi. So Yisrael turns to a Levi and he says, Maser, Yesh Lecha B'yad. You know, you have some Maser Rishon in my possession, meaning I set aside some Maser Rishon for you. Ein Cheshishin LeTrumas Maser Shaboy. We have no concern regarding the Trumas Maser element of the Maser Rishon. We know that 10% of every Maser Rishon is called Trumas Maser, which goes to the Kohen. We're not concerned about that. The Gemara soon will explain exactly what we have in mind here. But if he says Kur, that's a certain amount, Kur Maser, Yesh Lecha B'yadi, he tells the Levi, you know what, there's a set amount of Maser that I'm holding for you, Yesh Lecha B'yadi, Choshishin and Trumas Maser Shabbat. In this case, we're concerned about the Trumas Maser. My comma, what exactly does the Brisa mean by this? I'm not by Hachakam, it means like this. Yisrael Shamar Levi. A Yisrael turns to a Levi. And he says, Maser Yesh Lecha B'yadi. Here, you know, unbeknown to you, I set aside from my crop some Maser Rishon for you, and I want to buy it from you. Here, take money, I'm purchasing it from you. In this case, Ein Choshishin, Shema Asoi Trumas Maser Al Mokum Achar. Since the Yisrael didn't give him an exact amount, he didn't tell him how much. He said, you know, I have some Maser Rishon for you, let me buy it off you. In this case, we're not concerned that the Levi turned around and designated that Maser Rishon sitting in the Yisrael's possession as a Trumas Maser for a Maser Rishon that the Levi has in his possession. He can do that theoretically. He can say, you know, I have Maser Rishon from which I have to separate 10% Trumas Maser to the Kohen. I'm going to use that Maser Rishon there to be Moitzi my Maser Rishon. We're not Chayshin. The Yisrael who purchased it from the Levi need not be concerned that perhaps the Levi turned that Maser Rishon into Trumas Maser, in which case the Yisrael can't have it, can't eat it. There's no concern. Why? Because the Levi has no clue as to the volume, as to the amount. And therefore he can't make it Trumas Maser if he has no idea how much it is. Right? He wouldn't do it if he had no clue as to the amount. Kur Maser Yesh Lecha B'yadi, but this time he told him exactly how much it is. It's a Kur of Maser that I'm holding for you. Here, let me buy it off you. In this case, maybe the Levi decided, okay, great deal. I want to take that Maser Rishon now and turn it into Trumas Maser for some other Maser Rishon that I have. In this case, yes. Choshishin Shema Asoi Trumas Maser Al Mokum Achar. The question is, Atu B'Rishia Skina, we're speaking about dishonest people. You just sold it to the Yisrael, now you're going to turn around and take that Maser Rishon and make it the Shakli Dummy people who receive payment, they take money, and they turn into Trumas Maser. Elor says, that's not the Peshat. Rather, it's like this. Amar Rav Mersharshia, Braid Rav Idi, Hachik Amar, the Brisa means like this. Yisrael, we're speaking about children. Yisrael Shamar Leben Levi. Yisrael turns to a son of a Levi, and he says, Maser Lo Vicha B'yadi. There was some Maserishin that your father had in my possession. Here, take some money, I'm buying it off you. Ein Choshishin, the Brisa is telling us now, don't worry about any chance, Shema Asoy Aviv Trumas Maser Makam Achar, that perhaps this Ben Levi's father decided to turn the Maserishin, which was in the Yisrael's possession, as Trumas Maser on something else. So again, the Yisrael turns to the son of a Levi and says, look, you know, your father knew about some Maser Rishon that I had for him, right? Here, I want to buy it off you. No problem. We're not concerned that perhaps the Levi father had in the past decided to take the Trumas Maser obligation and apply it to the Maser Rishon sitting in the hands of the Yisrael. Why? Once again, because he didn't give him an amount. The father had no idea how much it is, and chances are he wouldn't make arrangements without knowing how much it is. But if he knew exactly how much it was, I informed him during his lifetime there was a kur maser lavicha b'yade. I had a kur for him, and he knew how much it was. And now he approaches his son, v'eilach damav, take some money. I want to buy it off you. Now we're not going to let him do that. You never know. Maybe the Levi's father, who was aware of the Ma'as Rishon that the Yisrael was holding for him, he knew how much it was. Maybe he turned it into Trumas Maser. Malkum Acher. He made it into Trumas Maser for another obligation that he had. You can never know. Therefore, the Yisrael should not be eating this Ma'as Rishon, which may have been converted into Trumas Maser. Asks the Gemara, why would we be concerned with such a chance that the father of the Levi, a sort of remote control, turned the Ma'as Rishon, which wasn't yet in his possession, which he hadn't yet received, turned it into Trumas Maser? You think upright people are suspected of Litzraim Shalem and Amukav to do Truma from far away? Mukav means close by, which is ideally the way he's supposed to do it. Rashi says, Midrabbana, Taisus brings that right. Bottom line is, he's supposed to do it from close by, not from far away, to ensure that it's really there, etc. So why would we concern ourselves with such a possibility that perhaps the chaver, this upright man, did such a thing? Ela Marvashi, the pshat is like this. A different case. Hachikama, the brisa means like this. Ben Yisrael, we have the son of a Yisrael farmer, Shama Levi, that now turns to a Levi, and he says, Kach Amali Abba, you know, my father, before his passing, told me, Maser l'chabiyadi, there is some Maser Rishon that belongs to you, that, you know, he set aside for your benefit. Maser l'chabiyadi, Oy Maser l'vichabiyadi, or, you know, the father, the son of Yisrael tells the Levi that my father told me before his passing that your father had some Maser Rishon by him. In this case, we're concerned that perhaps the Maser Rishon was as is, never attended to, never addressed, meaning the Trumas Maser element within the Maser Rishon is still there. It was never separated. We don't say the father did that before his passing, the Yisrael father. Why? Given the lay, kayet, since it wasn't a known amount, it wasn't verified, we don't know how much it was, lay have a masakhanli balabai, so the owner, the Yisrael, would not have, you know, address the Maser Rishon and separate it from his Maser to make it permissible for Achila, which is usually the standard procedure. A farmer would do that, you know, wouldn't just pass away leaving Maser Rishon, which is Asur B'Achila. This time we say he didn't do it because he had no idea how much it was. But Kur Maser L'Chabiyadi, but if he says, my father instructed me that you have a Kur, a certain amount of Maser in his hands, Oy Kur Maser L'Vichabiyadi, or your father had a certain amount of Maser. In this case, Ein Choshishin, Trumas Maser Shaboy. So in this case, we're not Choshish for the Trumas Maser element. We assume that the father took care of it before he passed away. Why? Given the kid, since it's a known amount, it's a kur, tikune tikne balabais. We say the balabais, everybody separated the Trumas Maser. Even though he's not really obligated to do so, it's really the obligation of the Levi, but, you know, before he passed away, he certainly looked after everything, make sure nothing is sitting there that's forbidden. So now when the Levi finally takes possession of the Maser Rishon, being given to him by the son of this Yid, he can just take it and eat it. Asks the Gemara, but how could a Yisrael be doing the Levi's job, separating Trumas Maser from Maser Rishon? Does a farmer have authority to do Trumas Maser from Maser Rishon, which is really the Levi's portion? And yes, he does. Abba Lazar ben Gamliel, he was following the Shita of Abba Lazar, the son of Abba Lazar ben Gamliel, Eimer. The Pasuk says, V'nechshav lachem trumaschem, your truma will be considered. And the Pasuk continues, Kadogan ben Agurin, like grain taken from the granary, Kamalei ben Ayekev, and wine from the wine press. V'shtei trumois hakasav medaber. The Pasuk here is referring to two types of truma. Rashi explains, the word Trumaschem is Trumas Maser, but the next part of the Pasuk, Kedagan Min HaGarden, that's going on the Truma Gedayla, which the Yisrael is separating. So the Pasuk is sort of wrapping together both types of Truma. Achas Truma Gedayla, right? One is the Truma Gadol, which is the farmer's obligation to separate, which goes to the Kohen, V'achas Trumas Maser, and that's the Levi's obligation. And we sort of connect the two things. That's the purpose of wrapping them together in the same pasuk, to compare them, to equate them to a certain extent, to draw halachis from one to the other. G'shem she Truma Gadol in the Temel Espo'imit, just like Truma Gadol can be taken by estimate. So although Rashi brings, although the Chachamim tell us, you're meant to really do, you know, 2%, 1 of 50, but minat Torah, even one kernel is enough. So you're supposed to do it ba'imit, just by estimate, without measuring and counting. That's the mitzvah. Ube machshava, and you can even do it just by machshava, by thinking, by designating with your mind. Okay, that's going to be the truma. Even without physically separating, Rashi says it's learned from the word v'nechshav. It's all about the thought process, estimation, designation through mental designation. Kach trumas maser. The same applies to trumas maser. And tell us, b'ayud machshav can be taken by estimate and just by mental designation. And furthermore, ukashem sheyesh l'rishus l'bala bayis litrim truma gedola. Just as we know, the owner, the farmer, has a full right to do truma gedola. Kach yesh l'rishus l'bala bayis to do the trumas maser, litrim trumas maser, and that answers your question. So bottom line, we had a brayso with a yisroel addressing a levi, and the final pshat was Ravashi's pshat. Yisroel is a yerush. He says, look, my father gave me instructions. There is some maser of yours by us. Shall we assume the maser rishon is with its trumas maser, or trumas maser already separated from it, in which case it's mutar l'achil? All depends. If there was an exact amount cited, we assume the father already took care of the trumas maser. If there was no exact amount cited, so the father had no idea, it wasn't a defined amount, so chances are he did not do the trumas maser, and the levi has to now do it when he receives the takes possession of the maser rishon. Concluded, based on the pasuk, that in fact even a Yisrael does have the power to separate trumas maser. Okay, let's just recap today's daf. We started with the sugya of giving a get with a condition. It turns out that an oynes held them back from fulfilling the condition. We have machlokes whether we say yesh oynes begitten, whether it's taken into account or not. Then we move on to a Yisrael loaning money to a kohen, a levi, and an ani, and being nice to them, allowing them to apply any potential truma or maser for a deduction of their debt. You can do so. Continue doing so with a cheskas chai. If there was any change of status, they pass away, you have to go to the yarshim and continue the arrangement. If Bezdin was involved, then the arrangement just continues automatically. It's for the benefit of the collective Levim and Israel and Aniyim. We had several halachis that pertain specifically to this arrangement. Shemitah doesn't interfere. There's no issue of ribbis. And then we discussed how a misa is shchicha but not ashirus, and therefore there's no takana on ashirus. With an ani turning wealthy, you have to stop the arrangement right there. And in terms of the yershim assuming responsibility, that's only when the debt actually carries over by way of the karka that they were yerush, and Rav Yechon says even a teeny amount of karka also carries over the entire debt. And concluded the brayso with the Yisrael and the Levi in terms of the maser rishon that he was holding for him. All the best to you, Hatzlacha Rabba, and Besura Yis Teves.